Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. It can be found on page 917 of the Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Well, friends, the Lord is with you. This is an amazing day of worship, and I want to thank Dr. Denham, Mike Denham, and the Chancel Choir, and Joanna, and the Praise Band for leading us in worship. And some of you may not know this, if this is your first Sunday here, we're one church, and we happen to worship at two different times, at 8:45 and 11. And we would encourage you, if this is your first Sunday, to come back and to experience what an 8:45 service or the 11 o'clock service, which is very similar to what we've done here, feels like and looks like. We're trusting that if you're looking for community, that you will find it here at National Presbyterian Church. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into our willing souls. Cause your word to come alive in us. Give us faith for what we cannot see. Give us passion for your purity. Give us your strength to live fully your life in this world. Holy Spirit, breathe new life into our souls. Amen. Some of you have read the book Hiding Place before by Corrie ten Boom. And that's an amazing book. There's a story in the book that recalls a time in her life as a little girl when it became very clear to her the full scope of what death means. And she started crying that night because it occurred to her that when her parents die, should her parents die, as a little girl, she thought to herself, I would be left alone. She was so terrified that she began to weep, crying out to her father, Papa, I am not strong enough for that. I can't hold on to my faith if I were to lose you and Mama. And her father, Casper, sat on the edge of her bed and said, Corrie, when you and I take the train to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket? Do I give it to you weeks in advance? No, Papa, she said, you give it to me right before we step onto the train. Exactly, her father said. Our Heavenly Father is the same. He doesn't give us the strength for the hard things in advance. Our Heavenly Father gives us the ticket exactly when it's time to step onto the train. When we go through storms, when we go through a devastating diagnosis, when we're dealing with a season of grief or the pain of a fractured relationship, people with the best of intentions will come along to us and they'll say, you know, just hold on to your faith. Don't lose hope. There's a silver lining behind every cloud. And those people really mean that. They're really trying to be helpful. But for you on the side where you're dealing with the pain, you're in the trenches of that pain, those kinds of platitudes are just not enough. Holding on to a fragile, circumstantial kind of hope, to use Jesus' words that we heard read by Elder Glenn Schmidt, is like building your house on sand. It just doesn't work. And so our reading in Romans chapter 5, and Deborah, thank you. Thank you for reading our text this morning. Our reading in Romans chapter 5 isn't about a pep talk about holding on. Instead, what it does, it introduces us or reintroduces us this morning to the hope that holds us in every storm. And friends, this is what I simply want to offer to you this morning before I take my seat, that we don't survive the pain and the suffering of this world and of our lives by trying our best to maintain our grip on God. No, we endure our suffering because it is God's grace that is holding you and me. And so it's not surprising that Paul begins this most precious words in all of his letters in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that little word, therefore, is serving as a connector. It connects us back to what we read last Sunday in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, where we were told that Jesus was the reason why we're justified. Jesus was raised to life for your and my justification. And that's a big word, isn't it? But it simply means that the debts, the case against us, is permanently resolved. It's permanently closed. Our debt is canceled. We're fully embraced and forgiven and accepted by God. And he bases that on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, through his life and his death and his resurrection, he covered what we couldn't cover. He paid what we couldn't pay. And so because of that unalterable verdict, Paul says in verse 2 that we have obtained access into this grace in which we stand. And that word stand just means we are firmly planted, we're fully established, we're standing on this solid, immovable foundation. And what this does for us, and maybe it's done that for you already, I'm still working through this, it's helping me to dismantle my old way of living, where I'm thinking if it's to be, it's up to me. It's almost like that tightrope walker who is standing there on that rope and gingerly taking one step after another, knowing that one misstep spells death. It's an exhausting way to live. Today's scripture presents a radically new way of living, something that I'm still trying to learn how to do, where Paul says to people like me, and maybe to some of you, step away from the rope. You're not standing on a rope. You're standing on the immovable foundation of God's grace. You're standing with God, Paul is saying to us this morning, does not fluctuate based on our performance. Rather, it is based on Jesus' performance. You're standing on solid ground. And it is on this solid ground that Paul introduces the concept of hope. Now, I'm going to have to be honest with you. I was hoping that the New York Knicks would win the NBA Finals. But I couldn't tell you with certainty, and I'm not a betting person, so I wouldn't bet on it because I just didn't know. But I was hoping they would win. And of course, after 53 years, they finally did. And I have to be honest with you that I was hoping that Duke would have won the NCAA championship. But they didn't. That school, what is it called? Michigan State? University of Michigan? I don't even know, but it's somewhere, a school up in Michigan somewhere. I don't want to know, actually. But they won. That's one version of hope. But the hope that's being spoken of here is a biblical hope. It is this certain, joyful expectation of a guaranteed future reality. It isn't a wish. It's as if God drops this solid anchor that keeps us today and all of our tomorrows. And I think that definition changes everything when Paul says in verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And if you're like me, you're asking the same question. How does suffering, crushing suffering, produce certain joyful hope? Well, first of all, we would need to see our suffering not as some kind of detour from what God has planned for you and me. We would need to see our suffering not as God suddenly punishing you and me. We would need to see our suffering as the primary furnace where our faith is forged into reality. And if you think of the goldsmith never puts gold into the fire to destroy it. They put it into the fire to remove the dross, to get rid of the impurities. And even before the fire is lit, we all have a fragile, untested faith. And we really tell ourselves that we trust God. But really, at the end of the day, and I can only speak for myself, I'm often trusting in other things, whether it's my health, whether it's my illusion of control. And when the heat rises, when the times get difficult, suddenly those things that I've trusted in start melting away, and it feels like I'm being destroyed here. Really, what God is doing is God is consuming and removing the idols that we've trusted in. It forces us to drop our counterfeit dependencies and to realize that the foundation beneath us endures the fire, the furnace. What it does, it transforms the fragility of our lives into something that is real and eternal. Decades after Corey's conversation with her father, she was, and her family, were arrested by the Nazi Gestapo for hiding Jewish families. According to her book, she says that her father had just died 10 days later. And here she is, thrown into Ravensbrück, a literal, horrific furnace of suffering and death. And it's in that death camp, she says, everything has been stripped away. Even the clothes on her back were stripped away. She realized that she didn't have the strength to hold on. And it was then that she remembered the conversation with her father about the ticket. And this is what she wrote. This is a famous quote from her. In that hellish place, she said this, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." How could she be so sure that God wasn't punishing her, that our divine goldsmith wasn't cruel? How could she be so sure? And I think part of the answer is in verses 6 through 8. She says, the scriptures say, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so now we're looking at the logic of the cross. On the cross, Jesus endured the ultimate crushing weight of abandonment and death. He took the absolute punitive fire of sin on the cross. And the only fire that's left for you and me, it's the refining fire that the Church of Jesus Christ throughout history has endured. If you look at the cross, you know that whatever fire you're in right now, it's not punishment, because Jesus already endured our punishment. If God loved you enough, loved us enough to give his only son for us when we were an enemy, as the scripture says, then there is absolutely no way God is going to abandon you and me in the furnace that you're now in as a child of God. So as you step into this week, I imagine that many of us here this morning are carrying the heavy weight of our own lives. I'm inviting you this morning to trust that God is good enough and mighty enough to hold you and sustain you through whatever you're going through today. When you think your knees are giving out, when you think you don't have the strength to hold on, I want you to remember that ticket. The furnace will not consume you. It will only refine you, because underneath us are the everlasting arms of a Savior who took the heat of the fire so that we could stand securely in the warmth of his unbreakable love. So we don't hold hope. Hope holds us. And when you get to Romans 8, you will hear these words again, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are more than conquerors through him who has loved us and gave himself for us. So in response, we trust him with our days. We trust him with our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God's people say, amen. Would you pray with me? Again, Lord, we thank you that the verdict is in. We're standing on the solid rock of your grace. I pray for every person in this room right now dealing with what feels like a furnace of affliction. We pray for relief. We pray for courage. We pray for strength. We pray that you will remind us that the fires will not consume us. The fires will refine us. Teach us, Lord, how to rest in the grip of your grace. For you are the one, you are the hope that holds us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.